I'm glad that I can be here right now. It's a great edification to me. It's going to help me in the future to do a lot of good things. Starting now, being up here, I am nervous. But this is part of the Christian journey, breaking this nervousness down. Speaking of the Christian journey, Philippians 4, verse 13 has something very special to say about that. It says, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, this is meant to be a great encouragement to Christian brethren. It's a sort of keep going. It's, you know, you can do it if you just try. I kind of thought about that stereotypical poster of the cat hanging from the tree. And at the bottom it says, keep hanging on. Maybe kind of like that. And here, Paul says, I am able to do all things, but it's nothing because he's special in this scenario. It's not because he is Paul or any of the things that he has done allows him to do this. It's because he can do them through Christ. Now, I have recently started college. And college is... it's pretty difficult. I have trouble convincing myself sometimes that I can make it through some of the tough essays and tough projects that I have to do. You know, there's so many amount of essays, so many amount of projects, so many amount of homework assignments. Sometimes I can sort of procrastinate for them. You know, I don't really want to face them head on. But I do eventually have to do it. And I get it done, and everything seems to be fine, but it's a lot of stress. It's very taxing for me to do. And it's because I have this lurking feeling in the back of my mind that there's a chance that, you know, I may not do this. I may not be able to pass the classes. I may yet fail college. And there's a 100% chance that there are some things that I am just not able to do. I doubt that I can go travel to Mars right now. Or to go to the moon, or some ridiculous, impossible thing like that. And so, I keep thinking back to this verse. I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. It seems to be a bit of a problem. Which things are these all things talking about? Well, firstly, I want to discuss what happens if we do fail. If we do try to do things, and we do fail... What is our punishment or consequence? Let's turn to Romans 3:28. In that area, it's got some good things to say about this. Romans 3:28 says, "For we conclude that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." Now he's talking about Israelites here and there, and the law and the Old Testament. But it's the fact that whatever they can do themselves, their works, they could that cannot save them from their faith. And much like us, our works cannot, or rather, it cannot save them from their judgment, from their sin. Likewise, our works cannot save us from our sin. In verse 24, it says, they, who is in verse 23, all, are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In verse 25, God presented him as an atoning sacrifice in his blood, received through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. So God has paid the debt for our sins. And so we can do no work to pay that off. All that we must do is receive it through faith. Now, if we do not have faith that Jesus died for our sins, we pretty much effectively, we laugh at him and we scoff at him because even though he did these things for us, we still choose to rely on ourselves. And that's sort of pride that is very high. But so we have faith. Otherwise, we would be sentenced to damnation in hell. We have faith to accept the grace that God has shown us through His Son. And so, even though I may yet fail college, or any of the various things that come after that, getting a job or some other hard thing, it doesn't matter as long as I have faith. I may be justified and may yet go to college. Now, I'm not saying this to try and get out of doing all the work that comes with all that. No, in James 2, verse 18, it says, "But some will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works.'" And so he's trying to say that there is no faith without works. Not only that, but if we have faith in Jesus alone, then we also have faith in God, for God is Jesus, as shown in John 14, verse 10 and 11. We will then have faith in what God says, and God in the Bible commands us to work. So we must work. But I can still yet fail college. And that seems to be contradictory to what Philippians 4 verse 13 says. So what's the problem? There are things that I cannot do. I cannot sprout wings and fly. I cannot do miracles. I cannot give myself $100 million. That is very enticing. Especially when we're following Christ. We can't go out and live bad lives. You know, we can't get out and get drunk or lie, or should not lie, should not steal. We should do all these things. And if we are following Christ, we won't do these things. And we, you know, other various things, murder. Can't do that. So, where am I confused on this? I'm definitely wrong. The Bible is never wrong. It's just how I'm perceiving it. And so next we're going to turn to Philippians 3, 1 through 9. And this, I believe, gives the context for understanding Philippians 4, 13. It says, "In addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you again about this is no trouble for me and is a safeguard for you. Watch out for the dogs. Watch out for the evil workers. Watch out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus, and do not put confidence in the flesh. Although I have reasons for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteous that is in the law, blameless. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things, and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith." So Paul here, he's a Pharisee, and this means that he is of the uppermost echelons of Jewish society. He has the most respect, he has the most reputation, he's probably a pretty wealthy person, considering his stance in society. So if we were to be in Paul's place, it's like if we were senators in the U.S. government or parts of the House of Representatives, a very high place in society. And doing this is a lot of things, and it might be seemingly worth something. But in Paul's eyes, it was worth dung. Or in other words, worth absolutely nothing at all. Why is that? These things had not been done to gain Christ. Matthew 16, verse 26 says, "What will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world, yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life?" Some translations say soul instead of life. If something had been done not to gain Christ, it is worth nothing. If the thing you had done was worth nothing, have you really accomplished anything at all? Have you done anything at all? Is it even the thing to have been done? Paul states that the goal, in verse 14, his goal is that the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. And another goal in verse 10 is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So if our actions do not contribute towards working towards this goal, they are nothing. And he also states that all who are mature think this way, and that our goal is the prize promised by God's heavenly call. So he's saying that this is the correct way to think for mature Christians. Once again, if something is not done for this goal, doesn't matter. Is it of heavenly consequence? These actions that are worth nothing will eventually fade away and burn with the rest of the world. I mean, they are nothing. They are the same as no action at all. And no action is just another way to say do nothing. So if it's not for Christ, it is the same as doing nothing. So when Paul says he can do all things through Christ, this does not include the actions that do not further the goal of knowing Christ. Because doing no thing is not doing something. And in doing all things, you are doing something. So, in my case, if obtaining a college degree is fulfilling my closeness to Christ, then I will be able to do it, guaranteedly. As it's something that matters. And it matters because I'm getting closer to Christ. And we are not guaranteed to be able to do the things that don't matter. And if I am not able to complete college, then completing college was not something that furthered my closeness with Christ. And it's challenging. College is challenging. We all have tasks that are challenging, things that seem impossible and hard to overcome. However, we must remember that if it is for Christ, it is possible. We can do these things, and we are guaranteed to succeed if we try, as stated, Philippians 4, verse 13. Now, I know of at least one thing that is assuredly what Christ wants for all of us. That is to become a member of the Lord's church. It is one of the actions that matter the most. And if you wish to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, or if you have any other reasons, any other problems that you wish to discuss, that you want to further your closeness to Christ in, please come forward as we stand and sing.